Let's start at verse 1 in that chapter. We go through verse 11. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It reads as follows. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. A firkin is approximately 10 gallons, so it's 20 to 30 gallon pots. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and the manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Would you pray with me? Jesus had a wedding feast. You turned water into wine. It would be no great difficulty for you then to turn the words which I say into food for us. I ask you to do that. And as we prepare our hearts for the communion set before us, I ask only that you would do what you need to do. And help me to step out of the way, that your word would come forth. For Lord, you know all things, and you do all things well. And I ask you to do that now. And may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, the thoughts in our minds, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. I hear tell that there's going to be a wedding feast. The plans are already in place. You know, we've heard of who it is that's going to be there. It is the bride, the bridegroom, and invited guests, plus the father of the bridegroom, and all of his company. Now maybe you've heard about this wedding feast. It happens a while from now. But maybe you don't know about the particulars that go into the preparation of that feast. But until the feast is ready, and until the bridegroom is ready for the bride, and the bride is ready for the bridegroom, no wedding will take place. Maybe you are understanding already that I'm talking about at the close of this age, when the bride of Christ, the church, becomes betrothed and married to Christ. Now, in our lives, we've probably been to many different weddings. I know I was at one last May. As a matter of fact, Kent and Melissa were the ones getting married, and I performed the ceremony. And it was a beautiful occasion, I thought. Very blessed day. And plans come before a marriage. You don't just say, okay, invite all these people to show up, and we'll do nothing but have them show up. You have to work hard. Even if it's a small wedding and just a few people, you still got to make plans. Can you imagine preparing a wedding for all of God's people and all the hosts of heaven? Could you imagine how much preparation that would take? Well, I want to share with you what happened in John chapter 2. It's very powerful and speaks clearly of that day, of our communion service today, and also of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. Take a look at this. It says, in the very first verse, on the third day. Now, on the third day is not arbitrarily put in there. On the third day after Jesus died, he rose from the grave. On the fourth day after Lazarus died, he rose from the grave. There are only two third days I can find in Scripture. One is, on the third day Jesus rose from the grave. The other one is, on the third day he went to a wedding. Does it really matter what day you went to a wedding unless it compares to something else that happened on the third day? Obviously, John, who wrote this, had a connection. He knew why he was saying what he was saying. It says, on the third day, there was a marriage. I gotta tell you this, I like this. Because when we come to see that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead is the marriage. That's the marriage. The feast comes later. But I want to share with you what I'm talking about so you don't get ahead of me and say, well, okay, I'm ahead of you, catch up. Don't go ahead of me, all right? It says there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Now, if you're not familiar with that area, the Sea of Galilee was, if you will, up in the north central part of the lands of Israel and Judah. And the Dead Sea was further down, was near Jerusalem and Bethlehem. On Galilee was Capernaum, where Jesus had stayed for most of his adult life, and about 20 miles west and south of the Sea of Galilee and of Capernaum was Cana. Somehow or another, Mary, Jesus' mother, was invited, but there weren't enough guests at the wedding. And if you plan a wedding for 500 guests invited in that culture, guess what? At least 500 are going to show up. But that many don't show up. And so what they do to the guests who are invited, and you see, it's not like our wedding where it just takes a day or half a day. Their wedding's going on for days. They have a wedding and they have ceremonies and blessings. I mean, this is an occasion. This is a big deal. And so when they have the guests at the wedding and they see that there's not enough for the feast, they say, hey, tell your family they're invited to come and eat. And if they don't come and eat, you can't stay either. So Mary sends for Jesus. It says that in verse number 2. It says Jesus was called. And it not only was the call so urgent for Jesus, it said, Jesus, bring all your friends. So Jesus brought his disciples too. And you wonder about this. Jesus talked about the parable of the great marriage feast, and there weren't enough people. And he sends his servant out, the king sends his servant out and says, the meal's ready, come eat. And some people say, well, I got to go check this land, you know, and I got to test the bull and all this, you know, that they had already bought. And so they have these ridiculous excuses. But he said, okay, well, go and tell other people to come. And they brought those other people, and he said, the place still isn't full. He said, go out to the highways and byways and hedges and get this place filled up. So they're trying to get the place filled up. Get your family and all their friends and let's have a feast. All the invited guests didn't make it. Now let me tell you, in your mind, if you're from that culture, this makes no sense. You do not miss an invitation you said yes to. In that culture, you do not, unless you're dead. And you better call in before you die. That's how kind of how serious they are about this. If you're going to miss, you better be dead. If they're going to, why? Think of it. They drove people sick to these things on beds because they weren't going to miss. That's how important it was. They dragged them. If someone said, I'm going to be there, well, you know, if they were sick, they had people carry them. But they got there. That was how important it was. Well, people weren't showing up. And this should tell you that this is a problem. When John tells the story about the wedding, if there's not enough guests to wedding, there's not enough of the invited guests who showed up, there's a problem. But the fact is, this wedding, there wasn't enough and they had to call more people in. Now, I'm going to give you a comparison. When Israel was offered the kingdom and all God's glory, some of them didn't want to come in. They rebelled. That opened the door for who? Everybody who wasn't a Hebrew or a Jew. Us! That opened the door for everybody to come in. And we are all invited to the table of the marriage feast now. And God says, I'm not going to have the feast until the place is filled up. And when it's filled up, we're going to have the celebration, and even the people who said they were supposed to be here aren't going to get in. When it's full, it's full. A certain number of seats at the table. So he goes to the marriage of his disciples, and they wanted wine. Now, they planned for people to have wine at the wedding as a toast and as a part of the meal. That was generally what they drank because the water wasn't too good. Generally, what they did with the water was wash feet, wash hands, wash bodies with it. They didn't drink water too often. It wasn't very good because water from a well, you had to go a long way to get it. You'd bring it back in a pitcher and you would have your water that way. The water wasn't preferred because it didn't have a shelf life and it's hard to get. However, at this particular wedding, when all the people brought their families and friends, there was too many people and they drank all the wine. It was all gone. I don't know about the food. We don't hear about the food. What we hear about is the wine. Let me give you a little visual clue. The wine. The grape stuff. Stuff made out of grapes. That was gone. And so Mary comes to Jesus and says, they have no wine. And what does Jesus say? He says, this ain't my way. I'm not responsible. It's not my time, woman. Why are you asking me to do something that ain't my wedding? Huh? What he said? Why are you telling me this? My hour isn't yet come. It's not my wedding. I'm not supposed to pour out my wine, which we know is why I'm going to come. His mother goes to the servants and says, Jesus is going to tell you something. Whatever he says, you do it.
I imagine this woman had some say.
I don't know what you know what I mean by say, but when she walked up, she says,
Tim, you're going to go and get me. This is the store.
You went, I'll be there. I'll be back in a minute.
It was the kind of person who was very,
she said it, you did it. And she went to the servants and said, hey, whatever he says, you guys do it. It wasn't her way either, but she was telling the servants of the wedding what to do when they were doing it. You think about that. You think about that for a second. It was maybe some of her family, but she was bossing the servants around. And so, the six water pots of stone, which were for the purification of the Jews. And don't miss this. If you miss this, you miss it all. And so they're set aside for the purification of the Jews, are six stone pots with 20 to 30 gallons of water each. And they were there and they were full at the beginning of the wedding. But part of the ritual of the wedding is to wash off the feet or the hands or both of the people coming into the feast and into the wedding. It's a ritually pure symbol to say, I bring nothing of the world with me but myself and my gifts for the wedding. I'm not dragging dirt of the world into this wedding. Basically, that's what that's meaning. And there was about 120 to 180 gallons of water used to pour it on the feet of each guest. How many people do you think 180 gallons would wash the feet of? I'd say quite a few. A gallon of water probably washed 8 to 10 people. So you're looking at about at least 500 guests of water poured out on them. And Jesus says, take those water purification pots and put wine. No. What did he say? Should fill them up with water. Dad last couple weeks ago was talking about this, got me thinking about it, and said that one person had said that those pots had this aroma of wine, but they're purification pots. They're not sanitary. If you will, they're not sanitary to drink. And they didn't have wine in them. They were purification pots for water. You didn't make 30 gallons of wine at a time. You made it a gallon at a time. Or two. And not in a water pot. That's not how you made it. But Jesus says to the servants, fill them with water. They fill them up to the brim. Very simple. And then he says, now draw out now and bear it to the governor, and they bear it. Now listen to this. Jesus didn't do anything but tell them to do two things. That's all he said. Right? He didn't touch it. He didn't wave the hand over it. He didn't say, bless this. You may it be great. Oh God, make it be something more than what it is. He just said, fill it up. Now take it to the governor. And the governor, the ruler of the feast, tasted the water that was made of the wine, and he didn't know where it came from. And the governor of the feast called to the bridegroom. He called the bridegroom. The one who was responsible for the table, the feast. Every preparation was the responsibility in that culture and still is of the bridegroom. Doesn't that feel good to know that we're the church and we're the bride? That the bridegroom is getting stuff ready for us, or we don't have to get anything ready? Doesn't that feel good to know that Jesus has got to do all the work and we all we have to do is listen and respond at the right time and be loyal to the bridegroom? That's all we got to do. Well, he calls the bridegroom over. And he says, every man at the beginning to set forth good wine. And when everybody has drunk so much that they can't tell the flavor of the wine anymore, they bring out the bad stuff. But you brought out good wine last. That would be a nice story, except for one thing. The water for purification and the wine.
Listen.
Catch this. In this earthen vessel that we are, do we not have a purification ritual with water called baptism? Do we not? Sure we do. It symbolizes that we have been crucified with Christ, that we die with Christ when the water washes away the sin, right? But it says there's a future, better purification than that. Because out of the vessels of purification, which is our body, now comes wine. And wine is symbolic for the blood of Christ. And what we hear then is the bridegroom is called over and says, what do you got in that stone cup? And I imagine that this is the final feast at the last day that Jesus will be saying this. Well, I want you to know that at one time, water was in those pots. Just common, ordinary stuff. And we poured it out on all the people here because all the people here at this feast have been baptized. All have been blessed with water baptism. He said, but what we did was we've kind of done something where we put water in there, but it wasn't good enough. He said, I had to purify the water a little bit with my blessing. And I imagine that Jesus walked over those pots and changed it to his blood. You see, at the wedding feast, what happens is it's a common cup. All the wine comes from the same pitcher. Everybody drinks the same cup. The same cup works for you. It works for me. It works for you. The same stuff works. You don't need a different source for hope. The same source continuously works. It says that the water becomes wine and the wine works. It is better than what was before. And he's not talking about, of course, the water in the pot. He's talking about the wine beforehand. But if you understand that wine symbolizes the old blood covenant with animal blood, this old wine isn't as good. This old blood covenant, it was good and it did the right thing, but now we got something better. We got the blood of Christ in this new pot that was water baptism oriented, and now it's blood oriented. And what he's saying is, when you're water baptized, the blood's going to cover you. And you're born of water and the blood. And if you catch this, and we have to, what do we say about the wine or the grape juice? That it's the blood of Christ shed for you. And when do we begin to celebrate the resurrection? On the third day. Right? We don't celebrate when he sheds the blood. That's the water baptism. It's when he's raised to new life, which means it says in Scripture that he takes his blood when he's resurrected and he goes to heaven and he throws it around heaven, sprinkling it all over heaven. Catch this, and don't miss this. Because in the Old Testament, they had the priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement with blood from the goat that was the paschal goat, and they would take that blood and sprinkle it all over the Holy of Holies to get rid of all the sin of the nation. Everybody's sin on the Day of Atonement, when God saw the blood, said, I will overlook your sins that you committed over the last year. Jesus had said when he died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Jesus went into the Holy of Holies, but not the Holy of Holies here. It says in Scripture very clearly in Hebrews 9 and 10 that all the stuff on earth is a copy or a shadow of what's in heaven. So Jesus takes his blood, goes into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and sprinkles it all around and says, it's clean now. Everybody can come. Your sin is no longer there. You're free. And if this wedding feast is a copy of the wedding feast in heaven, which I know it is, then what he's saying is, if you're in this wedding, you've been purified by water, and now you get the blood covenant with me, which is the sacrifice called communion. And it starts at resurrection. You can't sprinkle blood when you're dead. Obviously, he raised from the grave and went to heaven and sprinkled to heaven as his resurrection. And so that blood sprinkles us. It says in Hebrews 10, we're sprinkled with the blood of Christ. We are. And that's what they listen. You miss this if you think they're drinking the wine. At the wedding, he takes it and says, this is better. But it doesn't say anybody drinks it. It's for purification. It's out of the purifying pot. It's for purifying the people inside. Get that. The water is for external cleansing of the garbage of the world. The blood, the wine is for internal cleansing. You just have to have a taste to know it's the cleansing. That's powerful. Those purifying pots were now able to be drunk. And the inside was made clean. And what Jesus symbolically says in John is telling us is that Jesus Christ, when we drink his blood, his cup, we are pure. I don't know about you, but that's good. That's good news. I know I'm not a perfect person, but it says when the blood comes in me, when I cup at the table with him and bread at the table with him, I am pure. He says I'm pure. I have no room to argue. He says it. Because it's coming from the vessel of purification. Jesus God. I've never heard anybody talk about that Cana wedding feast like that. I had no idea that that water, which became wine, was a wine that symbolized our communion this morning. And I had no idea that it was a blood sacrifice of Christ. I knew Christ's blood cleanses us from sin, but in that wedding feast, I had no idea that that's what that was talking about. But I share with you this morning, because as we come to the table in just a moment, the cup and the bread, I want you to think about one thing. That this is Jesus Christ's body and blood. And if you partake of it, you're saying you agree with him that it makes you pure inside. That's what you're saying. Jesus, I trust that your word says this makes me pure. And then, don't forget what Mary said to the servant. Whatever he says after that, do it. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that through a simple wedding feast years and years ago, you showed us a truth that is relevant for us right now. That you become the source of translation, of transfiguring, of changing things from one form to another. As you change something born of water into something holy and blessed, so it says you do it with us. And we say we agree that you do that, and we want you to, as we dine with you this morning. We ask you then to meet us here now. Holy Spirit, maybe
gifts of the food, the grapes, and the bread be for us the body and the blood of Christ. That we might be the body and the blood of Christ for the world.
May your Spirit pour out your Spirit upon us gathered here on these gifts.
That indeed that may come to pass.
We do ask you this in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen.
On the night in which Christ was betrayed, he gathered for one final feast. And I want to share with you what he said to those disciples. He said, after this, I will not eat any more of a feast of blood or bread until I eat it with you in the new kingdom. He's going to eat with us, the bride with the bridegroom. And so that means when we partake of this, he dines with us. And he took the bread and broke it and gave thanks and said, take and eat, all of you, who's off his rule in remembrance of me. This is my body, and it's broken for you. After the supper was over, he took the cup. And he blessed and gave thanks to God and said, this is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink ye all of it as often as you shall in remembrance of me. And so by doing and partaking in this, we proclaim the threefold mystery of Christ. That Christ was a human being, that he lived, that he died, that he rose, and he will come again. And we say that like this. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And we thank God for the institution of this meal and the blessing therein. I invite you to come to the table to receive the cup and the bread as you will, knowing that Christ has established this and beautified it at Cana Galilee, and also on the third day when he was resurrected. Come as you will, starting with those on my right. Body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. Body of Christ. And the blood of Christ. Body of Christ. And the blood of Christ. Come as you live. Body and blood of Christ. Body and blood of Christ. The body and blood of Christ. The body and blood of Christ. 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 The body and blood of Christ. 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 you stand for a benediction and a blessing on the food as well. May God, who establishes his covenant with you, establish you in that covenant. Speak to your heart, to your life, and point out to you the places where he's working, that you might move forward, knowing that he loves you, he sustains you, and he's very patient with you. For he desires that all would come. He desires that the wedding would be overflowing. So come. And as you go now, remember that God has blessed you and strengthened you. God, we ask you to bless us now as we depart. Ask you to bless the food we're about to eat. We ask you to bless the fellowship that we've had together and that we will continue to have. We ask you also that you would guide us and direct us as a church together and move us forward as your people moving toward your kingdom. And I ask you this in the name of Jesus, who bids all to find life in his name. Amen. But I don't hold it again. You gonna be good? You gonna be all right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but,
Oh, yeah, that's true. I haven't had one when I was in there either. Are you going to stick around for the meal?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I need you to drink it a little bit later.
I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
It's
fun.
That was my first time I got back.
Yeah, I've never heard it like that. When I studied this week, I said,
when you said the first thing I came with you right there, I knew where you were going.
Well, the first thing that we miss on this, and we can get all the pieces, but remember those are purification pots. And it's the wine that purifies it.
It's the blood.
We know that.
What about the water? Is that where the...
Oh, my God.
What?
That's working.
I know that. I'm a Methodist church, for God's sake.
For God's sake. And yours.
For God's sake. You know, I have not been in a Methodist church since I was 16 years old.
In Alabama, so it's different.
In anyway.
Is it different in Alabama?
No, not really.
So how do you feel like we're going to... Different country
too. Too many memories, though. Good.
No reason you even look at this camera.
Absolutely.
I know. I know.
That's why I didn't have to get up and walk out and dismiss myself.
It is a building. Yep. Yeah, we go down.
This is that money that I gave you last other Sunday. It has had a story. When I got home, I didn't have it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I said, well, I must have dropped it outside. The next morning, I started out, and they were like a 10 and a 1. The next 2 days, I found the rest of it. I had dropped it when I got out of the car at home, and the wind had blown it all around in the yard. Custom just gets
that
for me to help you with your gas.
Oh, okay.
For
okay. Did I get a couple pens for that instead? I need a pen. If you have them, if not, yeah. That's fine.
Okay.
So 10 and 2 5 is fine too.
Yeah, it's on a hand too. 10 minutes gonna get the bit.
That's okay.
I can't do nothing with this thing too much. Takes me forever.
Thanks, ma'am. There you go. Thanks. Kids, we've been having such a good time.
I know you have. I'm just so thankful you've got them.
We've had such a good time.
I can tell they're just frail.
Oh, man.
Now the big one is named
Johnny. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I hear you. This one's Johnny.
This is the oldest.
Hey, James, how come you're smaller if you're older?
Your time, here I took 20 out of the collection to give you, because Chris was sitting there,
yeah.
And I did put it back.
Who's is this? James, did you give me yours or Johnny, you give me yours?
Yeah,
that's yours, James? Put it in the truck.
Yeah.
Put it in the truck. Would you like to get it in the truck?